Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
Well, the lesson today is called Sharing the Gospel Effectively. There's an effective way to share, and there's an ineffective way to share. And so I think you'll be interested in this. And the reality is, this is the way most Christians share their faith. I hope you heard that. It's usually pretty quiet when we're prompted or feel led to share our faith. We sometimes don't have the words for it. But I think this lesson today will help you. The scripture I'd like to begin with is Acts 1:8, where it says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses." First of all, there's power in the Holy Spirit. So if you ever feel weak and unable, don't forget we have the power of the Holy Spirit. And what is that power to enable us to do? It's to be witnesses. So you have power to witness. Now, a witness is not something you do. Witness is something you are. So you don't have to try to do it, because you are a witness. It says you will be my witnesses. Okay, hold on a minute. My little stand is trying to fall here. Also in Acts 3:15, this is Peter. He said, "You killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses." Witnessing was very easy back then. A few days after Jesus, or 40 days, whenever it was, or even a couple of years later, all the disciples, all the witnesses were saying, "Hey, we saw Jesus alive. He was dead. He was in the grave. 3 days later, he came out. He's alive." Well, they were pretty excited about that. You know, and they didn't have to go to a witnessing class to learn how to witness about Jesus or to preach the gospel. It just came natural because they were telling about something that they knew about. They had experienced Jesus' resurrection. So, simple. They didn't say, "You killed the leader of our religion." No, you killed the author of life. Now everybody's in trouble if the author of life is dead. But the story doesn't end there. Or we wouldn't even be preaching. We wouldn't have services. We wouldn't be singing. We wouldn't be happy. We wouldn't have a religion. But God raised him from the dead, and he said, "But to this we are witnesses." Now, this is kind of interesting. I've been trading some in stocks. I've got this little Robinhood app, and it's kind of fun doing. But I was told that there's this expert on YouTube. His name is Rainer Teo, and he has like 50 or more videos giving stocks advice. And he talks fast, too. And he's very knowledgeable about what he's talking about. Well, what does that have to do with sharing our faith? Well, he's sharing everything he knows about stocks, investing. So, is he shy about doing that? Does he say, "Oh, I don't want to do that"? He doesn't say, "Oh, what do I know? Oh, what if somebody asked me a question that I couldn't answer?" No, I don't think he worries about that. He just goes right on, and he's just got everything down. Why? Because he knows everything about stocks. He knows everything about investing. Wouldn't it be nice if all of us as Christians knew everything about the gospel, knew everything about Jesus, knew everything about sharing our faith? That's the point. So, the Bible says there are three things about us. Number one, we're witnesses. Number two, we're all gospel experts. Ooh, wait a minute. I'm not sure I'm a gospel expert. Well, haven't you received the good news, and haven't you believed the good news? Yes, you have. You're an expert in what God has done for you. And number three, our words are powerful. You might say, I tried to share the gospel and I think it just fell flat. Well, put some faith in those words, because they're not just your words. They're backed up by heaven, because the Bible says you're powerful to be a witness. So you just trust, if you'll do the right thing, say the right thing, be the right kind of person, that fruit is going to materialize. Okay, now, there's two false assumptions that we have about our culture and people that we meet. And that is, people are disinterested, or our culture is too far gone. Sinners don't want to hear our message. Well, think about it back in Jesus' time. Did people want to hear His message? Oh yeah, they flocked to Jesus. He had thousands of people whenever He preached a sermon, whenever He ministered. There were thousands of people, pressing in. So, well, but He's Jesus. Yes, but we have Jesus on the inside of us. So we have to look at that and be confident and realize that. There's a group of people called nuns, not N-U-N-S. This is N-O-N-E-S, which means no religion at all. And that's a growing segment, percentage of our population here in the United States. Most of the people you meet, they're likely to be nuns. Now, there's probably less of them in Texas, but there's a lot of them out there. While we're having a church service on Sunday morning, there's more of them at McDonald's than there are in our church services. And they're not worried about missing church. If somebody were to ask them, how come you're not in church today? They would go, huh? What? It's not on their radar. The Bible, God, church, Jesus. So, here's what I think they're saying quite often, or the most typical response you might get from a nun, and that is, I don't object to Christianity. I just don't need it to be happy. I don't need it to run my life. I'll take care of that. That's a tough one. I'm here to tell you that's a tough one. But if we could anticipate that kind of response, what's being put out there, then we're going to be more likely able to respond to it in an effective way. So here's the way to look at it. Even though someone might tell you they're an atheist or an agnostic or a nun, they're all religious. They're all religious. Everyone is religious, because here's a definition for you right here. A set of beliefs about the cause, nature, and purpose of the universe. This was in a dictionary, I think Merriam. A set of beliefs about the cause, nature, and purpose of the universe. Does an atheist believe some things about that? Does he have a set of beliefs? Yes, he does. Does a nun have a set of beliefs about the cause, nature, and purpose? Yes. Do you have a set of beliefs about the cause, nature, and purpose of the universe? Yes, you do. So that's something that can be addressed. They just have a different idea. They belong to a different religion, so to speak. So that might help you when you're talking to somebody. Yeah, you have a set of beliefs. They have a set of beliefs. You have faith. They have faith in their set of beliefs. So when a person tells you that they're not religious, what they're saying is they just don't believe in your religion. So look at it this way. Everyone has faith. They either have faith in God or some other authority. They might have faith in government. They're trusting in the government. Or they're trusting only in themselves. The question is, who do you trust? So most people you engage don't know enough about Christianity to actually object to it, much less argue. But here's the problem. Most Christians don't know about their own faith, about the Bible, to argue it or discuss it. As a matter of fact, they're kind of embarrassed or shy. What if somebody asks me a question that I can't answer? A survey was taken recently, and there was a whole bunch of questions asked, but the one that stood out to me the most was that 50% of Christians, or 50% of Americans, and this included Christians, could not tell you any of the four Gospels of the New Testament. Wow. No wonder it's hard for us to share our faith, and much less argue it. And by arguing, I don't mean argumentation. I mean to be able to present a logical, cogent case for Christ. But I want to take the pressure off of you. Here's how I do that. Lead with love. Don't lead with a scripture, but a kind and genuine interest in people's welfare. The people you meet. Be happy. Smile at them. Ask them how they're doing. We're not trying to get into a religious discussion or to, you know, if you approach somebody and you've got your Bible open and you say, hey, I've got a scripture for you, they're going to run. Lead with kindness. Lead with your love. Lead with your care and compassion. So, the truth is, if somebody says, I'm not religious, I've got a quick answer for that when I tell them, I'm not religious either. Sometimes that leads to a discussion by, what? You're a preacher and you're not religious? No, just because I have the life of Jesus in me, that has nothing to do with religion or a set of rules or do's and don'ts or whether even you go to church or not. The good news is the Bible does not require you to be. All you have to be is unqualified. All you have to be is unqualified. That's who Jesus preached to. That's who Jesus encountered. That's who Jesus forgave. That's who Jesus shared his life with. So have you heard this one, if we're talking about objections or something that you need to be ready to respond to? How about this one? I'll never be perfect or good enough, so I don't even try. Well, the answer to that one is, well, that's me too. Yeah, that's me too. I'll never be perfect. I'm not good enough. And I don't even try. I let Jesus do what he promised that he would do for me. He saved me. That's it. It's what he did for me. I simply accepted it. I didn't make myself, I didn't prepare myself or make myself good enough for him to save me or to deserve forgiveness, deserve acceptance. All grace means God did it. Grace means God did it. And don't sell yourself short. As a Christian, you have a testimony. I've heard some Christians say, I wish I had a testimony. And by that they mean, I wish I had been in prison, wish I had killed somebody, wish I had been on drugs, I wish my marriage had fallen apart. And there's all kinds of things. Testimony, they think you've got to have this terrible experience in life that you recovered from in order to share your testimony. But how about this as a testimony? I'm not doing drugs. I haven't been in prison. I haven't killed anybody. I haven't committed a crime. I've got a happy, healthy family. That is a tremendous testimony. So everyone has a testimony. If you've met Jesus, you have a testimony. So don't answer objections with an argument, but with a testimony. Nobody wants to hear your preaching. But people would like to hear your testimony. If you simply smile and be happy, someone might say, you seem to be happy all the time. What is it that makes you so happy? Well, there you go. Well, it's Jesus in my heart. I've got a song in my heart. God is blessing me beyond measure. That's why I'm happy. So here's a good prayer. Here's a good prayer request. Holy Spirit, show me how to reach people today with the gospel. Because remember, the gospel is not a religious trip. The gospel is good news. We get salvation. We get forgiveness. We get the author of life living on the inside of us. Who wouldn't want that? Well, there probably is a lot of people that don't want that because for them they think, oh, well, then I'm going to have to conform. I've got to start going to church. I've got to be goody-goody. I've got to be religious. So this is what I think. You can't make clear what is unclear to you. Practice putting the gospel into a few well-thought-out words. We practice everything else. Why not practice sharing the gospel in an effective way? In a way that is interesting. How about this one? In a way that draws people into you rather than making them run from you. Think about the gospel to the disciples. They shared it very simply. They said this over and over again, especially all through the book of Acts. Peter and Paul, the other disciples. When people would ask them for the hope that they had in them, they'd say, Jesus died for our sins, and on the third day He was raised from the dead. That's it. There's the gospel. There's the good news. When you die, you don't stay dead. You can be raised from the dead just like Jesus. So the gospel is good news. And I believe it's good news for everybody. Everybody that's suffering, everybody that's going through pain, everybody that doesn't know where they're going, when they're going, or how they're going to do life. Good news. Especially for nuns. There is meaning to life. Furthermore, God has taken a personal interest in your life. He wants to help you. That's a tough one for some. And if you shared that with somebody, that might even get rejected because there's some people that just don't want a God out there that cares about them and takes a personal interest in their life. If God is taking a personal interest in my life, then He might be judging me, counting me unworthy. He might be excluding me because He knows my life and my sin. That's not the way it is, and that's the good news that we have to share with others. God loves me exactly as I am, not as I ought to be. That's part of your testimony, and it might help somebody else understand God and how the gospel works. God wants to help you. So, nuns don't really have an argument against God or Jesus or church. They are just not that interested. They're more interested in their own life and their own opinions. And they're a little bit intimidated by religious people because oftentimes they will say, I don't want to hear it. You think you're better than I am. Or you're imposing your religion upon me. And the answer is, no. Don't want to do that at all. Jesus didn't impose His life, His opinions, His theology. He didn't impose anything on people. He invited people to life. So here's another good question as far as I'm concerned. And it's a tough one. And that is, how do you make people hungry and thirsty for the kingdom that you proclaim? Because I don't care how good of a meal you might have prepared for your family, let's say. But they've been eating junk food all morning, and so here's this wonderful meal, and they're not hungry. They're not thirsty. I don't know how you make people hungry when they're not hungry. There's got to be something that goes on, a real dissatisfaction with their own life. With their own solutions to life. There's got to be a dissatisfaction and a hunger that comes up within them. That's why Jesus said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. But if you're not hungry after righteousness, then you won't even seek it. You're not looking for it. You're not expecting it. And you don't want it. So the good news is we have bread. So when you get hungry, we have bread. We have water. It's delicious and it's satisfying. But not if there's no hunger and thirst. Well, Jesus didn't self-promote, and we don't have to self-promote. Don't lead with your church denomination. Lead with compassion. Posters and bumper stickers was not his strategy. Can you imagine Jesus on his donkey, and on the back of the donkey is a bumper sticker? It says, "Honk if you love me." Hold on just a second. That was a joke. Yeah. Sometimes I tickle myself. Or you might be... I hope you're not yawning. Who was that? Okay, we don't know. So Jesus didn't have a product. He was the product. See the difference? Because he was the way, the truth, and the life. We don't have religion to present to people. We don't have a set of rules. We have a person. So whatever the objection is, and I've heard of a lot of objections to faith, to the Bible, and to church, all these excuses, all of these objections, this is what I like to ask after I've heard a few of them. I like to ask, okay, I understand your questions. I've got some questions too, but here's what I want to ask you. What do you think of Jesus? What do you think of Jesus? That's a tough one for the nun or for the atheist or for the agnostic. There's lots of things they can object to. There's lots of things they can criticize of church, of Christians, of preachers. Fine. I'm not going to try to defend any of them. I've just got a question for you. What do you think of Jesus? That's the most important question that you can answer in your life. Hey, all right. We're down to the closing prayer, and would you like to pray this with me? We've got it up on the screen here. Ready? God, could you equip me and send me out today to the hopeless and the hungry? I may not say everything right, but I can be kind and care about the people I meet, which can be an open door to the Holy Spirit. Prepare me in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, I'm glad you enjoyed that teaching today. By that huge applause, I could tell. So thank you for tuning in, and we'll be back again next week. We're not sure yet when we're going to meet all together, but we're already talking about it, so we're getting closer, and we will let you know about our next meeting, whether it's online or face-to-face or sitting kind of, you know, physical distance from each other. We're going to work something out and get together soon. God bless you all for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.